From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For a lot of students, a special piece of the college experience is living on campus. And typically, it's optional because it usually comes with an additional cost. But starting next fall, the dorm experience is going to become mandatory for many new freshmen at Sacramento State, which is establishing a requirement that they live their first 2 years on campus. Sacramento State President Luke Wood announced this new policy back in August as a way to provide for students' basic needs and academic success, and recalled living in his car while attending Sacramento State, going days without eating on campus.
This will ensure that students are living on campus who are from a certain distance away from campus, not for our local students here, so that when students are coming here, we know that they have a roof over their head and they know where their next meal is coming from.
And as he mentioned, the policy will not apply to all incoming students. There are exceptions, but the requirement has drawn some criticism about the cost, capacity, among other concerns. Joining us now to talk about this new policy is Nadine Kelly, the Executive Director for Housing Services at Sacramento State. And just a note, Cap Radio is licensed to Sac State, but the newsroom's editorial coverage is independent of the university. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off with a little bit of your responsibilities. What does housing services, what does it encompass at Sac State?
Oh, most certainly. So housing services, we oversee the intake of our resident students. So their application, their license agreement, we get them welcomed on the campus with move-in. And then we have an amazing team that I get to oversee that orchestrates their experience. Once they're living on campus, helps them out if they have any challenges or issues. So just overall, like the custodial, you know, things, the upkeep of the community, just everything that runs and operates our residential community is what we do.
What is the current process like for a student that wants to get housing on campus at Sac State?
Yeah, most certainly. So currently right now we're in this enrollment process where we're about to welcome a new set of students. So what we do is we work with enrollment management and admissions, and we travel around the state to kind of share what it's like to live on campus with students. And then they make the selection to fill out a housing application and agreement. And we work with them on placements, finding roommates. It's actually a fairly simple process to apply for on-campus housing, oddly enough.
So what has been happening within, you know, the housing department at Sacramento State? I mean, you're walking students through their on-campus living. Mm-hmm. That led to the idea, which is now a policy, of having a mm-hmm. two-year living requirement for some students.
So the idea actually comes from beyond housing. Housing, we're the vehicle. Having a live-on requirement is something that is a part of many institutions nationwide. And I would say, as far as I remember, it was a requirement for a lot of schools when I was looking at colleges in the 90s. So there's some research that really shows that having students have the opportunity to live on campus their first year, their first 2 years, really helps ground them for on-time graduation. I know one of the biggest things we're trying to do in California is get our students graduated within 4 years, just reducing the time that they're spending with us and even reducing some additional expenses that they take on by extending their graduation by 6 to 8 years longer. So just living on campus really gives that well-rounded experience. Students get to meet people, kind of get engaged quicker with campus, and really just walk away with a lifelong experience that really excites them, lifelong friendships, and just a real connection with their institution, really creating lifelong Hornets.
Yeah, President Wood described that difference of being from a commuter to a residential campus back in August. Let's take a listen.
When you're a commuter student and you go home, you go home. When you're a student who lives in our residence hall and you go home to academic advising and tutoring and supplemental instruction and residence hall advisors and access to all the events that are happening on campus, you never stop learning.
So there's been a lot of talk over the last several years, maybe going back a decade, of shedding the commuter campus identity of Sacramento State, not only from President Wood, but also from former President Robert Nelson. So why is now the right time to implement a requirement like this?
I mean, I think that's a good question. I think the exciting part is our students have shown us that they have a large interest in living on campus. We've done a number of studies, just like demand studies, feasibility studies over the past couple of years, and students are asking for more places to live on campus or near campus. We're fairly landlocked, so there's not very many more spaces for us to grow. But they want more opportunity to be engaged on campus and have that live on campus experience. And that's definitely something coming from mostly our students that are living out of area. So we're really wanting to have that opportunity to provide them that. And they've actually shown us that that's what they want to do. Something that we notice is out of that 50 mile and out population, we've naturally captured 80% of that student population already self-selecting to live on campus. So they're letting us know that this is what they want. So this is the right time to really establish that, because what it means is we are gonna have so many more people at the table to grow our experiences. You know, we're having conversations with the academic deans about what does this really mean to have so many first-year students living on campus? How do we bring the academic experience to where they're living? How do we vamp up academic advising in their living space? And how do we bring more tutors over to housing so that they have that access? I will say one of the biggest things, or the top reasons why students enjoy living on campus from a lot of the surveys that we've done year after year, one of the number one reasons is convenience. And we want to make sure that we can provide our students with the convenience to all of the resources and all of the things that they get to experience on campus. And that's living either within a very short, you know, area around campus, or living on campus as they do in North Village and Hornet Commons.
Do you have the capacity to hold all of these students?
We definitely do. I think we have a lot of students at Sacramento State, but this policy does not require all of the 31,000 students to live on. I would say in fall of 24, we had a little over 3,900 true freshmen that enrolled at Sacramento State. Out of that number, we only had 1,416 actually that lived 50 miles and out. So about 1,400 students lived 50 miles and out. We actually have the capacity now and starting next year for that, even with the onboarding of Mount Whitney, we can hold a little over 1,800 first-year students. So we are prepared to welcome our first-year students with the live-on requirement.
Yeah, 50 miles and out are areas like Stockton, mm-hmm. Yuba City, Fairfield, yeah. The Camino area, Apple Hill area. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you already have the majority of these students wanting to live on campus. Yeah. Why should Sacramento State become the minority of CSU campuses that is having mandatory on-campus living? Because of the, you know, the some two dozen campuses, you're one of a select few, I believe seven campuses that have this requirement.
Yeah, so I know that we are one of the few that are going to have it, but there's quite a few that are in the exploration phase. You know, the research really is strong, and it shows year after year after year across the nation how students are having these opportunities to be successful. It goes beyond just the act of living on campus. It's everything that we, the institution, are going to want to put into that experience and ensure that they have the support that they need. Because living near your campus and on campus without all of the additional things is not what moves the needle for student success. It's going to be able to, I need some additional support. I'm having a meltdown at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who is there to help me through it so that I can move mm-hmm. through that? We have resident advisors. We have full-time professionals that live on campus. We function 24/7 for our students. Crisis, good things, great things. We are there for their support and kind of help them manage those experiences that they have and provide that holistic wellness and support that co-curricular experience that they have that can lead to stronger outcomes for GPA, graduation. Graduation initiative is a huge thing for us in the CSU. And we want to make sure that we're part of that experience that our colleagues are having down at San Luis Obispo, and the success that folks at San Diego State are having, that our students deserve that same level of success and that same level of commitment from our institution by putting this policy in place.
And that 50-mile threshold, that actually gets closer after the first year. It goes to 30 miles. So now we're talking about areas like Galt and Placerville, Auburn, Vacaville, even Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually still have a great deal of students that choose to live on campus that see the benefit of being even closer. Already we're kind of capturing, I want to say, around 400 students each year that live within the 0 to 50 miles. So we're going to capture some of those 30 folks already. So we're seeing that interest. We're seeing their desire to be a part of this community that we're trying to grow and develop and the experiences that we're offering them. So I think we're kind of taking their lead on their interests. And there are definitely students in that population that are not interested for a variety of reasons, and they've chosen not to live on. And a lot of them are going to fall within that exemption area. Our student parents, those that are married, our students that are so much more older when they come to college, and financial hardships. Those folks are going to definitely have a financial hardship that makes living on campus difficult, which they will be allowed to submit a financial hardship exemption.
Okay, because that was going to bring me to cost. I mean, a big reason why people don't live on campus is it's an additional cost. Students are taking on loans, and it's already, for a lot of students, unaffordable to live on campus. And there is student homelessness, you know, on many campuses across California.
Yeah.
So how is the university going to help low to middle income students if they do face this mandatory? I know that there is an exemption for financial hardships, but what if you're right above that threshold? Wouldn't that further financially strap those students?
It really depends. I can't speak to what that experience is going to do for an individual family. But when they do those financial exemptions, they get to tell their story. We actually already have financial exemption processes. So when students apply for college and they apply for housing, sometimes things change. You know, a parent will unfortunately lose their job. Something in the family finances has really caused a disruption, or they've done a full assessment, you know, met with financial aid, thought they may have, you know, were going to receive more scholarships. Like they've maxed out their aid and they've worked with the team over in financial aid and scholarships to see what options they have. And then sometimes it doesn't work out. So they come back and they tell their story. And we take a look at where we can provide some support in whether we have to release them from their agreement, or are there other resources through the CARES office or, you know, through advancement? Is there a scholarship we might have missed? So we're really big on kind of connecting students to resources and giving them options before we can say, like, oh, yeah, this is really going to be a challenge for you and have you released. When we're looking at those students that have probably already made those decisions, I want to say we're looking at a population that's under 300 right now based off of the capture rate that we have. So we have students and families that are like, I want to live on campus and I can do it, and they found a way. Then we have that group of students that didn't choose to live on campus that might fall in those exemptions, and that's a little under 300. And those are the students that are probably, some of them are dealing with a financial hardship. And our team on campus is there to kind of walk students through the process, explain things, and answer questions, and see if there's resources that can help them with this opportunity. Because a lot of times they really want to live on campus, and it's just really beyond our control or beyond the assistance that we can provide to help them.
Will there be housing available on campus for someone who's a parent?
So we currently don't have any family housing in our inventory. I know that in the recent town hall, that was a question. There are communities very close by that do allow for family housing, that we would definitely direct students to those resources. But it is something that we will continue to explore. More recently, the team over in Parent Families has had dialogues about what could it look like for family housing. And that's something that we will always put on our list for consideration as we explore our affiliated properties in that project that we're doing right now.
And this requirement to live on campus for many students, not all, for their first 2 years, isn't just happening in a vacuum. It's happening at a time when the cost of living is increasing. Mm-hmm. Sacramento State students, they voted against a student success fee earlier this year. In 2023, the Cal State system approved a 6% tuition increase every year for the next 5 years. So how do you respond to people that are concerned that this policy, compounded with all of these other financial additions and challenges, might just price them out?
It just really depends. Everyone is experiencing the world differently. So there's not really one answer to really kind of settle people. There's a lot happening in society, and we understand that. And that's why our policy has exemptions. That's why we are open to hearing every family and every student's story if this is something that's really out of their ability to do so. And we don't take offense to it. We completely understand. That is why exemptions are so important in all of the processes that we've seen across the nation, and letting folks know that we are willing to even look at something that doesn't fall in that box. We call it a case-by-case review. We will look at and hear from every single student that has a concern.
Yeah, I mean, when you're living on campus, I mean, I did when I went to college after I transferred from community college. I mean, of course, you have housing, but then you also have meal plans mm-hmm. and parking and these additional costs that come with living on campus. Mm-hmm. So that money goes to the university. So ultimately, this is also to generate more revenue for Sacramento State.
So University Housing Services is not a state-funded or federal-funded or university-funded department. So all of the fees that we have actually just regenerates into serving the students that live on campus. So we're called what folks call in the system a state side self-support department. So our staff is all state employees, but our department actually funds itself. So we provide our students with a lot of resources. There's no utility fees. Students leave the lights on all night long, right? They have no cost for laundry. We've removed laundry costs. We try to do our best to cover as many sports channels in our cable package as possible, because we know we have students from different parts of the country and different parts of the world. We feed back into their experience with their resources. All of the programs that we put on for them, taking students, to football games and things, all of that goes into their experience. So all of their food fees pays for our mortgages, our utilities, all of the expenses that it takes to operate mm-hmm. University Housing Services. And some of it gets seeded to fund, you know, new properties, right? We did have a contribution towards the Mount Whitney facility, and all of those revenues goes towards now creating more additional housing for students at Sacramento State. So we don't feed anything out of the institution. The funding that we make is just to really make the student experience so much more better.
Finally, in a few months, students are going to be getting their acceptance letters,
yeah,
you know, that they are going to be made at Sac State. So how will this process work if they get that requirement? Will it come with the acceptance letter? I mean, what should they prepare for?
Yeah, so we've already been having conversations. We actually notified students officially October 1st when the CSU Apply application opened up. So we've been very transparent with this new policy. So if they missed it in the news, they definitely saw it when they made that decision. So every incoming student knows, and then they've actually committed to understanding the policy, that by coming to Sacramento State, if they get accepted, that this is going to be a requirement. So they've already signed on to that through their submission of their CSU Apply application. We actually write out the policy and have them acknowledge it when they go through that process. We've already begun school visits, community college visits, and, you know, high school visits. Admissions has been traveling since September. They've met with the college counselors at the high schools and shared information with them. So our students are gearing up, you know, prospective students are gearing up for this particular process. So they know that once they get accepted, one of their next steps after saying yes to Sacramento State, I want to be made at Sac State, is going to be filling out the housing application so that they're in compliance with the policy.
Nadine, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This has been great.
Nadine Kelly is the Executive Director of Housing Services at Sac State, and we've been talking about the new two-year on-campus living requirement for new students starting in fall of 2026. There are exceptions. Up next, Sacramento is one of the most flood-prone areas in the country, but does the region have enough protection? As the rain rolls in, we'll take stock of the area's flood control. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.